Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Amrei Avraham Goldar, and today Maseches Yevamos Daf Dal, the first parak, Chamesh Esrei Nashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim ben Esther, and as a schus for Shidduch Chagon for Leah bas Esther. So the three daps we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis asked how we know that an aseh is docha a los aseh, and answered that we see this rule from the pasuk that discusses the Isser of Kalayim. The pasuk states, "Lo tilbash shatnez," you may not wear shatnez, and the next pasuk states, "Gedilim tasilach," you should wear tzitzes. These two mitzvahs are smuchim; they're adjacent one to the other, and therefore teaches that one may attach tzitzes of wool onto a beged of linen, even though this would be kalayim. This shows us that an ase tzitzes pushes off the los ase of kalayim. Melazer then brings the pasuk, which is the source for making a drasha with smuchim. Pointing to the Gemara says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who does not darshan smuchim in other parts of the Torah, agrees that in Sefer Devarim we do darshan smuchim. This is because in Sefer Devarim the pasukim are either muchach, it's evident by placement of the pasuk that's meant for a drasha, or mufna, it's superfluous. In the case of our drasha of klaim and tzitzes, the Gemara shows how both reasons can be seen. It's indeed muchach from the pasuk that's written for a drasha, because why were the words gedilim tasalach written here in Devarim? They should have been written together with the parsha of tzitzes back in Bemidbar. Rather, we see that the Torah clearly wanted the drasha be made with a pasuk of tzitzes. So too, the drasha may be made being that there's something mufna, something superfluous here. It says in Vayikra, ubeged klaim shatnez lo ye alecha, and a beged that's a mixture of shatnez should not come upon you. So why does the Torah need to repeat the Isser of klaim in Devarim? Rather, the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is extra, and therefore we know that it's meant to be used for a drasha. And pointing with you, the Gemara stated that the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is superfluous because we already know that klaim is forbidden from the pasuk ubeged klaim shatnez lo ya'alecha. The Gemara then asks on this that the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is not extra, because if we only had the other pasuk, we would assume that it's forbidden to wear klaim even if one does not intend to receive any hana, any benefit from it. This assumption would come from the wording of the pasuk, lo ya'ale alecha. Shatnez may not be upon you, which we would understand to mean that if the klaim are upon a person, meaning a case where one is selling klaim and the clothes are lying on top of him, then he's being over on klaim, even though he has no intention of benefiting from wearing the clothes. Therefore, the second pasuk of lo tilbash, don't wear, teaches that wearing the klaim must be similar to wearing clothes. In order to be over, the wearer has to intend to receive pleasure from it. The Gemara continues, if we would only have the pasuk of lo tilbash, we would understand that one is only over on shatnez if he wears it, as this gives him a lot of pleasure, but merely sleeping with a blanket that has shatnez, which does not give him much pleasure, is permissible. Therefore, we need the other pasuk of lo sala to teach us that this too is forbidden. The Gemara discusses if both psukim are indeed needed. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis asked how we know that an aseh is docha los aseh, and answered that we see this rule from the pasuk that discusses the Isser of Kalayim. The pasuk states, lo tilbash shatnez, you may not wear shatnez, and the next pasuk states, gedilim tasalach, you should wear tzitzes. These two mitzvahs are smuchim adjacent, and therefore teach us that one may attach tzitzes of wool onto a beged of linen, even though this would be kalayim. This teaches us that an aseh, tzitzes, pushes off the los aseh, which is klaim. Rabbi Elazar then brings the pasuk, which is a source for making a drasha with smuchim. Pointing to the Gemara says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who does not darshan smuchim in other parts of the Torah, agrees that in Sefer Devarim we do darshan smuchim. This is because in Sefer Devarim the psukim are either muchach, evident by placement of the pasuk that it's meant for a drasha, or mufna, superfluous. In the case of our drasha of klaim and tzitzes, the Gemara shows how both reasons can be seen. It's indeed muchach from the pasuk that it was written for a drasha, because why were the words of gedilim tasalach written here in Devarim? They should have been written together with the parsha of tzitzes in Bemidbar. Rather, we see that the Torah clearly wanted that a drasha be made with a pasuk of tzitzes. So too, the drasha may be made being that there's something mufna, something superfluous here. It says in Vayikra, ubeged klaim shatnez lo ya'alecha, and a beged that's a mixture of shatnez should not come upon you. So why does the Torah need to repeat the Isser of klaim and Devarim? Rather, the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is extra, and therefore we know that it's meant to be used for a drasha. And pointing with you, the Gemara stated that the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is superfluous, being that we already know that klaim is forbidden from the pasuk ubeged klaim shatnez lo ya'alecha. The Gemara asks on this that the pasuk of lo tilbash shatnez is not extra, because if we only had the other pasuk, we would assume that it's forbidden to wear klaim even if one does not intend to receive any hana from it. This assumption would come from the pasuk, lo ya'ale alecha, shatnez may not be upon you, which we would understand to mean that if the klaim are upon a person, meaning a case where one is selling klaim and the clothes are lying on top of him, then he's being over on klaim, even though he has no intention of benefiting from wearing the clothes. Therefore, the second pasuk of Vosilbash teaches that wearing the klein must be similar to wearing clothes. In order to be over, the wearer has to intend to receive pleasure from it. The Gemara continues that if we would only have the pasuk of Vosilbash, we would understand that one is only over on shatnez if he wears it, as this gives him a lot of pleasure, but merely sleeping with a blanket that has shatnez, which does not give much pleasure, is permissible. Therefore, we need the other pasuk of Vosa'aleh to teach us that this too is forbidden. The Gemara discusses if both psukim are indeed needed. All right, so now we go to our simon daf dalet, and our standard simon is a door, a delet, a door, so here goes. The man whose wool tzitzis hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door while he was reading a book about smuchim in Sefer Dvarim. Could not believe the irony as a salesman marched by carrying a shot and his merchandise upon him. So once again, slow motion. The man whose wool tzitzis hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door. Door, that must be learned off dalet, delet, door. The man whose wool tzitzis is hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door, which reminds us, we learned out that an aseh is docha lo sase from the pasuk lo silba shatnes, you may not wear shatnes, and the next pasuk that states, gidilim taselach, you should wear tzitzis. These two mitzvahs are smuchim, they're adjacent, and therefore teach us that one may attach tzitzis of wool onto a beged of linen, even though this would be klein. This shows us that an aseh, tzitzis, pushes off a lo sase, klein. So, the man whose wool tzitzis is hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door while he was reading a book about smuchim in Sefer Dvarim, which reminds us, the Gemara says that even Rabbi Yehuda does not darshan smuchim. In other parts of the Torah, agrees that in Sefer Dvarim we do darshan smuchim. This is because in Sefer Dvarim the psukim are either muchach, evident by placement of the pasuk that's meant for a drasha, or mufna, superfluous. In this case of our drasha of klein and tzitzis, the Gemara shows how both reasons can be seen. So, the man whose wool tzitzis hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door while he was reading a book about smuchim in Sefer Dvarim. Could not believe the irony as a salesman marched by carrying his shot and his merchandise upon him, which reminds us, the Gemara says that the pasuk of Vosilba Shatnes is not extra because if we only had the other pasuk, we would assume that it's forbidden to wear klein even if one does not intend to receive any hanah from it, such as in the case where one is selling klein and the clothes are lying on top of him, even though he has no intention of benefiting from wearing the clothes. Therefore, the second pasuk of Vosilbash teaches that wearing the klein must be like wearing clothes where the wearer intends to receive pleasure from it. And if we only have the pasuk of Vosilbash, we would understand that one is only over on shatnez if he wears it, as this gives him a lot of pleasure, but merely sleeping with a blanket that has shatnez, which does not give much pleasure, is permissible. Therefore, we need the other pasuk of Vosaleh should not come upon you to teach us that this too is forbidden. So once again, the man whose wool tzitzis is hanging on his linen beged got stuck in a door while he was reading a book about smuchim in Sefer Dvarim. Could not believe the irony as a salesman marched by carrying his shatnez merchandise upon him. All right, now it's time for four blabat chazara. Dav Chavav. So the simur Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup. Military coup? That must be more Dav Chavav. The soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup because he did teshuvah, which reminds us, the Gemara resolves a contradiction between our Mishnah, which states, the tax collectors who enter into the house and similarly ganavim, who returned clay vessels they stole, are believed to say, we didn't touch them. And the Mishnah from Tarzit states that if thieves entered the house, only the objects in the place where they walked are tameh, referring to the areas where items were definitely stolen. Now, if the kalim in the place that they walked are presumed tameh, then certainly the kalim they stole and returned are presumed tameh. Rabbi Pinchas said, in the name of Rava, Kusha Asa Tshuva. Our Mishnah is dealing with the case where the thieves did tshuva. And Rashi explains that since they're returning the kalim as an act of tshuva, they certainly would not lie about the tumah status. So, the soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup, because he did teshuvah, bought some leftover dough that a baker was selling after the chag. Which reminds us, the smalchus will come in Rabbi Yehuda whether the merchants can sell leftover wine or dough from the regal that Amei Arts touched, the chamim hold, that even the rabban suspended the tumah of Amei Arts concerning the chag. The Amei Arts are considered chaverim. After the regal, retroactively, the wine and dough become tameh due to their touching it, and chaverim are prohibited from selling it. Even though Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the wine and dough are tameh, he permits the sale of the leftovers after the regal. For if the merchants were not permitted to do so, they might be reluctant to sell during the chag, which would make it difficult for the olei regalim to get wine and dough during the regal. So the soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup, because he did teshuvah, bought some leftover dough that a baker was selling after the chag, whose store sign depicted a shulchan lifted and displayed to the people with the tagline, bread that makes you feel beloved. Which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta details how the kelim in the base of Mikdash were purified after the regal. The Mishnah states, all through the Chag, they would say to the Kohanim who are Amei Arts, be careful not to touch the shulchan. The Gemara questions whether the shulchan can become tummy at all, since it's a kli asui lenachasu, a wooden kli that's made to be stationary. And the din is that such kelim do not become tummy. The reason is that for a kli to be makabel tumah, it must be similar to a sock. Just as a sock is carried malei v'reikam, full and empty, so too must any kli be carried full and empty. The Gemara answers that the shulchan is carried full and empty for Reish Lakish Tat. The shulchan would be lifted and breads displayed to the oil regalim, and the kohanim would say, Ruh chibaschem lifnei amakam siluka kesiduro. See your belovedness before the omnipresent, for the bread at the time of the removal is hot and fresh as it was at the time of being placed on the shulchan the previous Shabbos. So since we see the shulchan was made to be carried while laden, it could be makabel tumah from Amei Aretz. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simur Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band. Kazoo? That must be more in Daf Chav Zayin. The Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moed Siyum, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a pasuk that begins with a reference to a Mizbeach and ends with a reference to the Shulchan and asks why the Shulchan is called the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said, Bezman she Beis HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach Mechaper La'adam. During the time when the Beis HaMikdash stands, the Mizbeach would be Mechaper for a person. Achshav Shulchan or Shul'adam Mechaper La'av. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's a person's Shulchan that's Mechaper form. Rashi explains that one's table atones for him through Achnasas Orchim, inviting and feeding guests. So the Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band, gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moed Siyum, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach and was plated with gold, which reminds us that we learned in the Mishnah Daf Chavav on the base that Rabbi Eliezer held that all the kelim in the base of Mikdash required tevila after the regal, except for the Mizbacha Zahav and the Mizbacha Nechoshes, because they're like earth and are not Mekabel Tumah. The Chamim in the Mishnah say, Mifnei and Metzufim, because they are plated. The Gemara provides two explanations for what the Chamim are saying, one where they are disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer and one where they are actually agreeing with him. So the Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moed Siyum, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach and was plated with gold, watched fires leap up but not burn all the time the Chachamim and Jews filled with mitzvos who came together to celebrate. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yavao said in the name of Elazar, Tam lechachamim ein or shel gehenim shalatis behen. The fire of Gehenna does not rule over Tam lechachamim. It's a kavachomer from the salamandra, which Rashi explains is a beast created from a fire left burning for 7 years straight. Reish Lakish said, ein or shel gehenim shalatis beposhei Yisrael, that the fires of Gehenna do not rule over sinners of Yisrael from a kavachomer from the Mizbach HaZahav. For just as the Mizbach HaZahav is only a dinner's thickness of gold, yet the fire does not have power over it, then all the more so, Poshei Yisrael, the sinners of Yisrael, Shemolein mitzvahs karimon, that are full of mitzvahs as the seeds of a pomegranate. Dab Beis, so the Simmer Dab Beis is a bais, a house. So here goes. When the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, that must mean we're on Dab Beis, bais. When the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, which reminds us, the Mishnah opens with the din of Chamishas Reinashim Pochu Sarasen V'Saras Sarasen Mina Chalitza Mina Yibum. 15 women, which the Mishnah will identify as Arias, exempt their co-wives and their co-wives of their co-wives from the Chiyuv of Chalitza or Yibum, and then goes on to explain how this works. So, when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 Arias who exempt them, which reminds us, the Mishnah lists the 15 Arias of the Yavim who exempt their tzaros from Yibum and Chalitza, and we use the numbers 333321. Three daughters or granddaughters from out of wedlock, three daughters or granddaughters from a marriage, three mother-in-laws, three sisters, two wives, and one daughter-in-law. So, when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 Arias who exempt them, they were suddenly turned back when they were informed she had just passed away before his death. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, and regarding all these 15 women, if they died before he did, or was a minor and did miyun, terminating her marriage to the brother, or they were divorced from him at the time of his death, or were found to be in ilonis, so that the marriage was terminated before the husband died, their tzaros are permitted to do yibum or chalitza. Daf Gimel, so the simmer Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The judges at the Pater but not Usher, your tzara from Yibum, camel race, that must mean we're on Daf Gimel, gamal. The judges at the Pater but not Usher, your tzara from Yibum, camel race, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why did the Mishnah use the word potros, which implies that the Tzoros can do Yibum if they wish, instead of Osros? They're forbidden. The Gemara concludes that if the Mishnah would have said Osros, then we would think that even if one of the Arayos married someone besides the person's brother, and then this husband died, the Tzor would be forbidden to the brother. Therefore, the word potros teaches us that the Isra of Tzor is Erva is only if they marry his brother. So the judges at the Pater but not Usser, Yurtzara from Yibum, Camel Reis, who ruled that the Ilonis and Sota should be excluded from the competition, which reminds us, the Gemara here asks, what does the number 15 in the Reisha exclude? And what does it say for the Mishnah that says, Hari El Potros, behold, these exempt come to exclude? The Gemara explains that these two Mi'utim are coming to exclude that which Rav said, that a Tzara of a Sota is Pater from Yibum, and that which Ravasi said, that the Tzara of an Ilonis is Pater from Yibum. The Mishnah's come to teach that only the 15 women listed here exempt their Tzaros from Chalitza and Yibum, but the Sota and Ilonis do not. So the judges at the Pater Banad Aser, your Tzara from Yibum, Camel Reis, who ruled that the Ilonis and Sota should be excluded from the competition, declared the Achuz Ishto the winner as she crossed the Aleha finish line, which reminds us, we learned from the Gezer Shabbat of Aleha by Achuz Ishto and the Mitzvah of Yibum, the judges of the Pasuk of Yibum is dealing where there is a mitzvah, so too the Pasuk of Achuz Ishto is referring to when there's a mitzvah of Yibum, and the Pasuk there concludes, Osikach, you shall not take a woman in addition to her sister. We therefore read the Pasuk of Achuz Ishto as follows, one may not marry a woman and her sister, even to do Yibum. The Gemara continues bringing the source for Tzaros being forbidden, and then explains that we learn the Halacha of Yibum of the other Arayos from the Halacha of Yibum by Achuz Ishto. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which daf does the Mishnah list the 15 Arayos? That's on daf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that the Shulchan was lifted up and the Lechem Apanim shown to the people to demonstrate how beloved they are? That's on daf Chavav and Chagiga. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Yehuda does learn Smuchim in Sefer Devarim? That's on daf Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn why the Mishnah uses the word potros instead of osros? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that there are two pshatim and what the Chachamim meant when they said that the Mizbach HaZahav and the Mizbach HaNechoshes are metzufim, they're plated with gold? That's on daf Chav Zayin Chagiga. Good. Number 6. Which of the women that an ase is dochel los ase from the smukim, the two psukim of shatnas and tzitzis? That's on daf Dalad. Good. Number 7. Which of the women, if one checked a base of pras in order to bring a pesach, he may rely on it to eat his truma? That's on daf Chav Hey. Good. Number 8. Which of the women, if one of a person's hands became tummy, the other one is tahor, but with regard to kodesh, he must immerse both of them? That's on daf Chav Dalad. Good. Number 9. Which of the women, the Gezer Shava of Aleha with Achuz Ishto and Yibum is the basis to teach that an erva is pater from Yibum? That's on daf Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which of the women, the Mishnah mentioning that there are 15 arise and then stating Hari Eo Potros is to exclude the Tzar's Sota and the Tzar's Ilonis from the list? That's on daf Gimel. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Regarding which malacha is one worn when he weeds or waters on Shabbos? Is it Koresh or Zoreah? That's on daf Beis and Moed Katan. Good. Number 2. Which stuff you learn that Esther sent a message to the Chachamim of Kisvuni Ladoros and they initially resisted? That's on daf Zayin and Megillah. Good. And number 3. Which stuff you learn if one is not makabo upon himself a tainus the day before, his tainus is considered as nothing? That's on daf Yud Beis and Tainus. Excellent. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.